Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today I choose to hear your voice and live. Today I choose to follow you.
Good morning and welcome to Good News in the Morning. My name is Brent Russett and I'm the senior pastor at Sunnyside Wesleyan Church. And it's my pleasure to look at some of life's challenges and then to bring you some good news in the morning. I'm glad you've turned your dial to CFRA, and I want you to know that you can also find Good News in the Morning on the internet at goodnewsinthemorning.ca. There you can keep up with what's happening around Good News Christian Ministries. You can also hear past episodes or re-listen to this episode. This morning, I want to help you to see your life as God sees it. I want to help you envision your life in a way that will allow you to be all that you were created to be. And this morning, I want to give you some handles on how to unleash the power of God into every area of your life. For some of you, this will be a reminder of what you already know. For others of you, you are going to get fresh insights into what God says about you and what God wants for you. And this morning, I want to talk to you about the authentic gospel. I'm going to be reading from Colossians chapter 1, starting at verse 15. The Apostle Paul is writing about Jesus Christ. He says, "He," meaning Jesus, "is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God, and you were enemies in your mind because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel." You know, if you're going to be all that God made you to be, then it actually doesn't start with you. It doesn't start with your willpower or your good works or your personality. If you're going to be all that God created you to be, it'll start with Jesus. See, the gospel is simply this. It is about Jesus. Jesus showed us who God is. Passage we just read said, "Jesus is the fullness of God in bodily form. And God sent his son Jesus into the world. And as many as would want to enter back into a relationship with God, Jesus made a way for that to happen." You see, all of us, you and me, were estranged, alienated, separated from God. Our relationship with God had been broken. In fact, it was so bad that we were God's enemies. God was not our enemy. Well, we were God's enemies because of our evil thoughts, words, deeds. Not only that, but the whole world is out of sync with what God created it to be. But Jesus died for you. His physical death on the cross created a bridge over which you could walk to connect with God and have a relationship with God, and have a relationship with God restored. His death has taken care of the sin and the evil deeds which separated us from God. And because of what Jesus has done, you're wholly free from sin, and now you're reconciled to God if you will, in fact, walk over that bridge by faith and put your trust in what Jesus has done for you. Paul says, "There is no other gospel. This is the gospel I receive. This is the gospel I preach. There is no other gospel." You know, some people will try to sell you another gospel. Some will say there's a gospel of good work, you know, where if your good works outweigh your bad works, well, you're in. No, it's not about you. It's about Jesus and what he's done for you. It's not about what you've done, but it's what Jesus has done. There is no gospel of good works. Some will try to tell you about the gospel of religion. If I just go to church, or if I just take part in the right ceremonies, or if I just take part in the right things, if I pray, if I read my Bible, then I'm in. But there is no gospel of religion. No, it's about what Jesus has done and what he has done for you. It's not about what you have done. You can't add anything to the work of Jesus. You can receive it. You can reject it. But you cannot add to it. It's not Christ in something else. It's Christ in which your hope is based, Christ alone. And if you want to come into relationship with God, it will be through Christ and Christ alone. That's the gospel of the New Testament. And I know many of you know that, but I just want to remind you of that so we can take it a little deeper. I want to introduce you to another verse found in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. It says this, like newborn babes, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. What does it mean to grow up in your salvation? You have been saved, but what does it mean to grow up? I believe that if we were to grow up in our faith, it would make a bigger difference than any self-help book. It would indeed be transformational. Before we get to that, we're going to listen to a song from the Worship Together album called In Christ Alone.
Save that thou art. virgin, O Lord of my heart.
In order to see what it means to grow up in our salvation, let's take a closer look at what the gospel does for us. Let's look at what it really means to be saved. Because when the Bible talks about salvation, it talks about it in the sense that we were saved. When we came to know Jesus, we were saved. It talks about it in the sense of we are being saved, that it's an ongoing process. And it talks about it in the sense that we will be saved when we get to heaven. Here is what the gospel did for us. This is what your salvation means. When God created people, there was harmony. There was internal harmony. Our bodies, our soul, our spirits functioned together. The spiritual realm was accessible as the physical realm. We had not lopped off our emotions or shut down our heart. We had not put walls up to protect our souls or to protect ourselves. There was internal harmony. Not only that, but there was harmony between people and God. There was uninterrupted fellowship. It was not a chore to talk to God. It was like breathing. It wasn't an anomaly to hear from God. It happened regularly. There was nothing to hinder fellowship between a person and God. Not only that, but there was harmony between people. There were no marital spats. There were no grudges. There was no bitterness or anger or unforgiveness. There was harmony. But not only that, there was harmony between people and creation. Nature and people were not at cross purposes with one another. We used what God created for us, but we didn't abuse it. God created us in harmony with ourselves, in harmony with Him, in harmony with creation, and in harmony with the people around us. If you want a definition for what it means to be truly human, that's it. Living in harmony with ourselves, with God, with people, and with creation. But then sin came into the world. And with sin came walls. Our spiritual side of us kind of died. See, our fellowship with God was broken. We were cut off from God. We were alienated from God. We were cut off from other people. We lost touch with other people, and we have this instinct to blame rather than to harmonize. We have this instinct to separate rather than to come together. We lost touch with creation. It's no wonder that the poets, in trying to describe the human condition, said that no man is an island, because everybody feels like that from time to time. I know few people who haven't experienced loneliness. We've lost touch with what it means to be truly human. We've lost touch with ourselves, and we're disconnected from each other, and we're disconnected from creation, and most of all, we're disconnected from God. But now Christ has come into the world, and by his death on the cross, he has dealt with sin. And when you walk through the door of salvation by believing in him and receiving him and choosing to follow him, Christ is in you. He deals with the sin that's in your life. You are forgiven, and that's a wonderful thing. And we sing about that in church all the time. There's nothing better. But in some ways, that means that you are put back together. See, your spirit is made alive in Christ. Christ is in you. You now have the opportunity to have fellowship with God. And when we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness. You're connected again with creation as well. Now, this is the gospel on a cosmic scale. I often hear stories of how when people become Christians, when they come to know the Lord, they walk outside and the colors are more vivid and they have love pouring out of their hearts for everyone. Something changes in them and it changes their perception of things. I know that many of you who are listening to me right now are Christians. You have put your trust in Jesus. Jesus has forgiven you. Christ lives in you. But the reality is that most of us don't experience completely what I'm talking about. We get a glimpse of it, but we don't walk out into nature and burst out in song. We don't always live in perfect harmony with ourselves or with God or with others or with creation. There's some parts of our hearts that are still walled off. Your fellowship with God sometimes feels really sweet and sometimes really distant. Sometimes it's easy to walk into fellowship with one another, and sometimes it's right down laborious. And creation, well, often we feel walled off from it as well. So let's go back to our picture and look at the gospel, not cosmically, but personally. We've been separated from God, ourselves, people, and creation by sin. But someone introduces us to Christ, and we welcome him with open arms, and we walk through the door into the kingdom of God. Jesus comes into our lives. We believe in him. We receive him. We follow him. The problem is that there's still some walls. Christ is in us, and we're kind of connected, but we still see Christ as through a glass dimly. Fellowship with others sometimes is still a challenge. Think of it this way. Christ has come into your heart, but around your heart is a wall that you have constructed over the course of your life. People are different, and so we put up different walls. Some will have really thick walls between them and other people. Trust for them doesn't come easy. Other people's walls will be thin there. They relate to people really well, but their walls will be thick between them and God. It isn't that they don't love God, and it isn't that Jesus isn't in them, but they've walled off their heart in such a way where they find it harder to pray and harder to hear from God. Some are walled off from themselves, and they have no idea what's going on in their own heart. And in the city, it's really easy to become walled off from creation. Of course, people are different, and people can have all kinds of walls inside themselves, but they can hide those walls very well. They cover over those walls with extroversion and the ability to get along with others. Some are close to God but have trouble with people. We all have our walls. Now, when the Bible talks about us growing in our salvation in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, one of the ways to imagine this is that the walls of our hearts come down, or they become thinner. There's less between us and God, and us and our own hearts, and us and others, and us and creation. The question is, how does this happen? Well, let me take you back to our Colossians passage. Paul has been talking about the gospel, but he goes on to say the gospel comes with a mystery. Now, it's not the kind of mystery that Sherlock Holmes would solve, but it's the kind of mystery where you know it's true, you just wonder how it can be true. In verse 25, the Apostle Paul says, "I have become the gospel servant by the commission of God. Gave me to present to you the word of God in all its fullness. The mystery that has been kept hidden for the ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." The mystery is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Let me unpack that a little bit about what that means. If you are a Christian, Christ is in you. He is at the core of who you are. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Just a little aside, that's very different than the dressed-up New Age spirituality that you'll find on many of the shelves in the Chapters bookstore. God is in you, but you are not God. We are not some kind of cosmic consciousness. The Spirit of God is in you, but he is distinct from you. But now follow me for a moment. At the core of who you are, there is Jesus. He is right at the core. But around the core, we built up walls that keep us walled off from ourselves, from others, from creation, from God himself. But Jesus is at the core. And we have walled him in, and we have walled others out. And what it means to grow in our salvation is to allow Jesus to expand himself in us so that the walls become thinner and thinner. The way to do that is not by trying to work harder or make some sort of resolution from the outside. The way is to see your spiritual life expand from the inside out. So the question is, how do you allow Jesus to expand himself in you? How do you allow him to expand himself into in such a way where the walls between you and yourself, so you know what's going on in your heart and your soul, and you're not deceived by your heart as much, where you see them? How does that happen? How is the walls between you and other people lessened? How are the walls between you and God himself lessened? Well, if Christ is in you, let me give you the ways, the time-tested ways of the people of God have come to see the walls come down. First way is surrender. You can't create your own spirituality, but you can follow Jesus' lead. And my guess is that most of you, if you were asked the question and given a little bit of time, what would Jesus want me to surrender to him? What would he want me to put under his control, that we would know the answer to that question? I know that surrender is difficult for many, to give Jesus control of every area of your life. And many of us don't surrender an area until we have to, until it seems like we have no other option, like we haven't figured out a way to do it ourselves. But Jesus wants us to surrender before that time. And as we give our lives to him and give every area of our lives to him and obey what he says, Jesus has a way of bringing down the walls. Second way, there's surrender, but also to nurture your spirit. See, if while Jesus was on earth, he had to go away and pray, then we need to take his example and say we need to nurture our spirit as well. You need to allow yourself ways to recharge your spirit so that it has the strength and the power to break down the walls. Think of it as two batteries. There's Christ and there's your spirit. Christ is always charged. Your spirit needs to be charged. It's only as you nurture your spirit or as you connect into Christ that you become have the strength in the inside to see what God wants happen. Meditate on the Word of God. Pray. Go to church. Read good books. Listen to good podcasts. Avail yourself of means of grace like communion, like worship, like corporate prayer. Practice silence. Memorize Scripture. Have real spiritual conversation with other followers of Jesus. As you nurture your spirit, you'll see the walls grow thinner. You'll see Christ in you expand into every area of your life. Another way to see that happen is to serve. Do intentional works of Christ in this world. Do it without fanfare. Things like hospitality or serving the poor or being kind to a neighbor or making a phone call to someone who's lonely, teaching a Sunday school class, using your spiritual gifts. Do those things as your own personal spiritual disciplines, remembering it's not about you, but in serving them, you are serving Christ. If you surrender, if you nurture your spirit, if you serve with a good attitude, Christ will indeed expand in you. The walls will become thinner between you and yourself, you and others, you and God, you and creation. You will grow in your salvation. To be truly human, to be truly Christian, is to be fully connected with our own heart, with people who are walking in the light, with creation around us and with God himself. I would invite you to enter into the mystery of Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your word that causes us to grow and for your encouragement that causes us to be all that we can be in you. Lord, I pray that for each person that you've been speaking to through these words, that you would encourage them to grow deeper and stronger in you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, if good news in the morning has been a factor in your faith journey, we would love to hear your story. Nothing could encourage us more in this work. So you can contact us by email or Twitter via the website. It's Good News in the Morning, all one word, goodnewsinthemorning.ca. Thank you for listening this morning. This program is on the air by the grace of God and the donations of many faithful people. If you can help financially, we would really appreciate it. You can make a check payable to Good News Christian Ministries and send it to Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, KOG 1WO. Or you can give online by going to goodnewsinthemorning.ca, and there you can click on PayPal and you can give that way. My prayer for you is that may you know Jesus Christ profoundly and personally, and may he bless your heart. We're going to go out by hearing Be Thou My Vision.
this cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest trial and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless faith, this gift of love and righteousness is gone by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live. In Christ, in Christ alone. There on the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me. For I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.